Good morning and welcome everyone. Let me hear those horns. Yes. If you're sitting in your car or you're sitting on your couch, we are so glad that you are here today. Want to remind you, first of all, that our phone number where you can text prayer request is 540-495-0501. 540-495-0501. We have beautiful, beautiful flowers here today to celebrate the life of Louise Motley, one of our beloved church members who passed this week. And our condolences and love to Joe and Angela Ergo. Angela was her daughter. Joe and Angela are former members of our church. Psalm 103. Whenever I read these words, I'm reminded of Pat and Lois Lamb, beloved members of our church family who are with the Lord in eternity. They memorized and they recited this entire psalm together every morning. And they said that in the midst of whatever was happening in their lives, this psalm reminded them of God's promises, his love for them, and his faithfulness in their lives, regardless of the difficulties. Here is a portion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. With all that is within us, let us bless the Lord through our worship, for we were indeed made to worship.
Before the day, before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped down into time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember, you and I were made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, and I will see what we were meant to be.
And all we are,
and all we have, is all a gift from God that we receive. Brought to life, open up our eyes, the majesty and glory of the King. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember, you and I are made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, you and I will see what we were meant to be. And even the rocks cry out, and even the heavens shout at the sound of his holy name. So let every voice sing out, and let every knee bow down. He is worthy of all our praise. You and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven.
forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, you and I will see.
You and I will see.
You and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, you and I will see what we were meant to be.
Thank you so much. We were made to worship. We have a new song to share and learn called The Goodness of God. I'm just going to be really honest. This week, perhaps the last 2 weeks, I have just felt a blanket of discouragement. Anybody relate to that? Whether it be the resurging COVID or knowing what returning to school is going to look like, seeing my church family, not being able to see my church family actually, the social unrest in our country, we all have a list, don't we? We all have a list. And as always, God speaks in my quiet times with him, and I was reminded that there are three things that I must do, actually four, but three main ones. Read the Bible, the Word of God, every day. Pray, honestly pour it out to him. Praise, to be reminded of the blessings, to write them down maybe, to praise him even when I don't feel like it, because it will change my perspective, my emotions, my reactions. And number four, I would say, is to focus on others. What acts of kindness can we do every day to be God's hands and feet and encourage someone else? The words of this song say it all. The goodness of God.
Love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other. I know you as a father, I know you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. We welcome Pastor Susan with our children's moment.
Good morning. Good to see all of you. Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis, and it's about two brothers named Jacob and Esau. And they didn't always get along. And so one day, Jacob was making some stew, and his brother came home, and he said, "Oh, I'm so hungry. Give me some of that stew." And his brother said, "Only if you agree to give me half of your, to give me your whole birthright," which meant that Jacob would inherit more money than his brother Esau. And Esau did it. He sold it, which was kind of a bad decision. So I was thinking about decisions, and I read this book, Alexander, Who Used to Be Rich, last Sunday. And you might remember Alexander from the Not Good, Very Bad, Horrible Day, or something like that. And the thing is, Alexander's parents invite the grandparents to come over, and they come over, and they give Alex and each of his brothers money. Now, if you read this book, it was written a long time ago, and they haven't adjusted for inflation. So I'm going to say that they give him $5. And Alexander wants to save his money for walkie-talkies, but he goes down to the store, and he decides to buy bubble gum, and he chews a piece of bubble gum, and it loses its flavor, so he buys another piece of bubble gum. And he chews that piece of bubble gum, and it loses its flavor, so he buys another piece of bubble gum, and that one loses its flavor, and then he realizes he's out 75 cents or a dollar, and he offers his friend, he said, "You can buy all of the bubble gum in my mouth for a quarter." And he says, "No, he's not going to do it." And so Alexander really wants to hang on to his money. He wants to be rich, but he keeps finding things to buy. And sometimes he gets tricked by his brothers. One of his brothers tells him he should plant his $5 bill in the backyard so it'll grow into a money tree. And he knows that's not right. And he says some bad words to his brother. And his dad says, "That's going to cost you 50 cents. And then later, his other brother does a magic trick, and he makes a dollar. He says, "Alexander, I need a dollar for this magic trick." And he takes a dollar, and he makes it disappear. And Alexander says, "Okay, make it reappear." And he said, "I don't know that trick." And so he kicks his brother, and his dad makes him pay a dollar for kicking his brother, because he said, even if your brothers are the rattiest brothers in the world, you don't kick your brother. And so then he goes to a yard sale, and he decides he just has to have the half-melted candle and the bear with one eye and the deck of playing cards that's only missing two cards. And before you know it, he doesn't have any money left at all. And we all do things like that. At the very end of the book, he realizes he didn't really need a one-eyed teddy bear. He didn't really need a deck of cards that was missing a few cards. He didn't really need a half-melted candle. Oh, and he also rents a snake from his friend for 75 cents. He didn't need to rent the snake. And he kind of wishes he had his $5 back. Well, later, Esau wishes that he had the birthright that he sold back too. But the good news is that even when we make mistakes, even when we make wrong choices, we get a second chance. God gives us another chance to learn from our mistakes and go forward. So each of you, all the kids have a Ziploc bag with cards in it, and those cards have different kids doing different things. And you can go through and sort them, and if you the kids who are making bad choices, you might want to color them red. And the ones who are making good choices, you might want to color them green. And just look through. Everybody's got a slightly different pack of cards. But look and see. What are the good choices? What are the bad choices? But most important, what are the choices you're going to make? And I hope the choice you make today is to fill your love with your heart with the love of Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we can come together and that we can share our love with one another. Right now we're doing it from 6 feet away, but we are thankful that we can still do it. So, Lord, help us to love one another and stay in love with you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. And if y'all are going to make good choices this week, give us a honk. Y'all had to think about that a minute, huh?
It's good to be with you all this morning, and I'd like to just take the opportunity to thank all the volunteers that put forth the effort for us to be able to gather here today. So let's give them a hand. What a beautiful morning the Lord has given us. Sunny, it's cool, we have a good breeze. So we're very, very fortunate, and the Lord has blessed each of us by giving us another day of life here on earth, and we're grateful for that. Our reading today comes from Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. These are the descendants of Isaac, who was Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah was to conceive. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If this is to be the way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "There are two nations in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when his wife bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was referred to as Edom. Jacob then said, "First sell me your birthright." "I am about to die," Esau said. "Of what use is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that you order all things to your purpose, and that even out of bad decisions, you can make good. Lord, as we consider our ancestral family, help us to see how it is we are to direct our lives. May my words be your words and my message your message. Amen. Well, I have to admit, I don't think I've ever preached on this scripture before, and this is the last in a little three-part mini-series about the family of the patriarchs. And so we have come to Isaac and his two boys, Jacob and Esau. And so as I was considering what to say about these folks, the kind of folks who put the fun in dysfunctional families, I was looking through other sermons, and I came across one that was written back in July of 1999. And it was actually written by someone I knew, so I took a little bit of time to read it. And it was interesting. It was written by Leonard Sweet. He used to be the dean of Drew University School of Theology when I was there. And he considers himself, in addition to being a theologian and a professor of preaching, somewhat of a futurist. And so in this sermon, he was talking about the children who were going to be born in the new millennia. What would their lives be like, those who were born in the 21st century? And that's a dangerous thing to do, to try to predict the future. And some of the things that Dr. Sweet predicted, well, really haven't happened. But he wrote this, you know, pre-9/11, pre-2008 housing bubble, pre-COVID, all of those things. And one of the things he said was that in the future, life expectancy would increase, and that this generation coming up would be healthier than their predecessors. And in overall, in the United States, life expectancy has stayed about the same on average, but we're finding that it's actually dropping in parts of the United States. He predicted that genetic testing would be a regular part of kids' physicals in the future. I don't think we're quite there yet. He did mention that kids would be in diapers longer, maybe possibly until age 4. But I don't think he counted on pull-ups, right? I mean, those training pants for the toddler set. So I think they have actually supplanted diapers for those older kids. And hey, if you want to send your kids to preschool, you got to be potty trained. So, you know, one of the things he predicted is that the birthright of the children born in this third millennium would include health, wealth, and an array of choices, that they would have more choices than we ever imagined. And maybe that's true, because there are 25 different kinds of Oreos now. And actually, there are another 40 flavors that come and go throughout the seasons. But do we need that kind of choice? Do we need to know what a carrot cake Oreo would taste like? But we don't exactly have health or wealth, or maybe not even meaningful choices in a time of shortages. Reading about Abraham's family tree is interesting, and it reminds us that family dynamics have been fraught with emotional baggage since the beginning. And the other, you know, one of the things that I think I picked up from Isaac and Rebecca is that parents should not play favorites with their children. And I have this word of advice. If you are thinking about playing favorites, do the right thing and tell each child that they are your favorite, and they won't figure it out until they're in their 20s. But reading about Rebecca and Isaac, they did, in fact, play favorites with their kids. And things were not even going that well before they were born. They were contentious in the womb. These brothers were struggling with one another even before they were born. And Rebecca even prays to God, what is going on? And God answers, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. Well,
I should probably point out that this scripture isn't just about one family. It's also a kind of origin story of the people of Israel. This is the telling of how Israel likely found its place in the world. Israel is like the younger sibling who must scheme and bargain and perhaps even use trickery to maintain its foothold among the larger nations that around it. It's an origin story about the people of Edom, because Esau's name means red, and Edom is a play on the word red, and Israel, that here are two people very similar, and yet they contend with one another. They struggle with one another. And Jacob's name is a play on the word heel in Hebrew, but it also sounds like the verb to supplant. So here is Jacob, who will be renamed Israel, and Israel and Edom do not get along, these near neighbors. And somehow, against all odds, Jacob is the one who comes out on top. His assertive and opportunistic character reveals what Israel thinks about themselves, that here they are in size and number an insignificant nation, but they are charged with making themselves known as God's people. They are God's covenant people. So in ancient times, the birthright of the firstborn meant that the oldest son would inherit double of what the younger son would receive. And so the birthright that Esau despised was the kind of thing that could set a person up for life. Esau has theoretically given up a third of what he would have inherited from Isaac. And if you're like me, you might think, I would never squander something so valuable for something as fleeting and insignificant as a bowl of red lentil stew. Now, there are different opinions about lentil stew, I know. In my own family, my youngest daughter and I, we like lentil stew. It's not bad. My husband, on the other hand, refuses to eat anything that has lentils in it. He is dead set against the lentils. No way he's selling his birthright for a pot of lentils. But to Esau, in that moment of hunger and want, perhaps he was feeling more than a little peckish, he makes this outrageous oath that he will give away his birthright if he can just eat that stew. You and I would never do such a thing. We would never give away something as precious as the birthright, something as precious that we might receive that would help us get further along in life. And yet, maybe we have done something similar. Maybe we haven't so much sold our birthright, but perhaps we have sold the birthright of our children, or at least put a heavy lien against it. My generation and the generations before me have polluted the air, released carbon into the atmosphere at an astonishing rate, and done other things that are not sustainable to the planet. This past June, on the first day of summer, temperatures in a place called Verkhoyansk reached 100 degrees. Verkhoyansk is located in Siberia. So what does that have to do with you? You're not going to Siberia. You don't live close to Siberia. You don't know anyone in Siberia, I'm guessing. And yet, 100 degrees in summer in Siberia is a bad sign. Average temperatures there in the summer are usually around 68 degrees. And so it's a sign that what's happening is that the ice in the Arctic Circle is melting. And that wouldn't be such a big deal, except that the ice is white, right? You know that. Ice, snow is white. And that's kind of like wearing a white t-shirt in summer when it's hot. It feels cool. You know, it reflects the light back. And so the ice reflects the energy of the sun back out of the atmosphere. And when that ice melts and it's melting more and more every year, it reveals the darker water underneath. And that dark water is like wearing a black t-shirt when it's really hot outside. Or it's like sitting down on your black vinyl seats in your car when it's really hot. You feel it. The ocean is absorbing that energy from the sun and containing it, and it's melting the ice faster and faster. And so when that happens, when the ocean sucks up that energy, more ice melts. And so when the fall comes, less ice is formed, and that ice will melt more quickly the next go round. And that's important for a number of reasons. For one, it's raising sea level. For another, it's changing the ocean currents. Salt water and fresh water have different densities. And so we're changing the ocean patterns, which means that weather patterns tend to stall out. It affects the weather around the globe. And so we have more extreme weather events. And because it's getting warmer, we have increased diseases that are carried by ticks and mosquitoes and fleas that thrive in warmer weather. It affects the whole world. More than that, if everyone in the world consumed resources at the rate that the people in the United States do, because we consume more than any other nation, except possibly China, if we all did what the United States does, it would take at least three Earths to feed and clothe everyone the way we are fed and clothed. We are extraordinarily good at consuming natural resources and then letting lobbyists and politicians persuade us that everything is fine, don't worry about it, it's not happening. Close your eyes, pretend it's not there. And because of that, we have put the future in debt to the present. We have saddled our offspring and their offspring to come with a potential deficit that they may not be able to pay off. We sold their birthright. And why? Why? Because we were told it was okay. Because we were told not to worry about it. Because we are so comfortable. When we moved into our current parsonage, someone asked us if we were bothered by the smell of the cows next door. Now, there are exactly 8 cows in the field next to our yard. And we said, "What smell?" And they said, "Well, what about the flies?" And we're like, "What flies?" Now, we were like confused by this. And they said, "Well, you know, cows attract flies, and you know, you can smell them when it gets hot." And we just laughed because when we lived in King George, we lived 2 miles from a huge landfill, a dump that tractor trailers from all across the eastern seaboard would come and dump there. And the right breeze on a hot day could bring forth what I can only describe as a mighty stench. And talk about flies. We had flies. The day we moved in, we must have had 20 flies that came in the house with our furniture. There was a house on the road to the refuse center, and it had a dog run built out in back of it. And the first time I drove by it, I was a little concerned because that dog run had a dozen vultures sitting on top of it. And I was wondering if I needed to call the SPCA, like, what's in the dog run that there are, you know, a dozen vultures sitting on top of it? But I found out that it just happened that the vultures were from the trash heap and they liked to hang out there on the dog run for a change of scenery. So they tore the dog run down. This house was actually owned by the Waste Management Center. They had to buy all the homes within a 1 mile radius of the landfill. That's just part of, I guess, not taking people's property values down too far. And so they eventually tore out the dog run, but then the vultures started perching on the roof. That was their new change of scenery. And so they came out and they ran wires over the roof to shock the vultures when they landed. Not kill them, but just give them a jolt. Now, I have to say, the landfill was well run. They were harvesting methane gas for fuel. They were recycling everything that could be recycled. But it was a reminder, driving up there and seeing those huge piles of trash, smelling it on a hot day is a reminder that how we use resources has consequences. And we're all in this together. This isn't just between like Jacob and Esau. This is all of us, the people in Siberia, the people in China, us, all of us together. Recently, I heard a United Methodist preacher, Olu Brown, deliver a sermon titled Imagine on the text from Revelation 21:5. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." We think of those words as the time to come. Jesus Christ comes back and God will make all things new. But we're called to realize that text in the here and now. We are called to make God's kingdom here on earth. We are called to honor the creation of this finite world. The resources are not infinite. We have a birthright that we earned from God. And we need to value creation differently. We need to remember that what we do here affects people on the other side of the globe, just as what they do affects us. The birthright, this world that we want to pass on to our children and their children and their children, needs to be cared for. We really are in this together. And sometimes when I look at the immensity, the enormity of the problems, I just want to go down on my knees and lift up my hands and say, "God, what can I do? I'm just one person. What hope is there that I can do anything? I can do something." We can do something. We can teach those who come after us to love God's creation because it's beautiful and God's hand is in it. And just as God made creation, he made us. And I suspect that these children of the 21st century may do a better job of taking care of things than we did, that maybe they can lead us and show us the way, that maybe they have a few lessons for their elders. They are our hope and they are our motivation to take better care of what has been handed down to us. And so my hope is that we will all seek the will of God and the Holy Spirit so that we can find ways to live on this beautiful but finite earth in a way that honors our Creator and therefore thereby bring the kingdom of God, our true birthright, a little closer to this place we inhabit in the here and now. Amen. Well, speaking of youth and those that are coming after us, we're having a Weir's Cave-based mission, youth mission this year, because of the rising number of COVID cases in North Carolina. Our youth are going to be working around the neighborhood. And so this morning I want to commission them. And if you are a youth and you're going on the mission trip, if you could just like stick a hand out the window or ask someone to honk the horn or do something. Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, I'm going to call out their names. So the people who are going to be on the mission this year are Meredith Lloyd, Landon Ryan, Philip Bennett, Jeff Philip DeHart, Sean Cook, Chrysalyn Mooney, Mackenzie Crawford, Stephen Metcalf, Nash Colvin, Scott Williams, Jacob Robertson, me, Julie Ritchie, Bridget Crawford, Lorna Frizzell, Macy Ann Frizzell, Lori Mooney, Jake Frizzell, Amelia Hughes, Hannah Cook, Rylan Martin, Bob Anderson, Lindsay Williams, Paige Crawford, Jacqueline, I do not know her last name, and Abby Campbell. Let us pray for those who are going on this week of mission. Lord, we ask that you bless all of those who will be working for you. Lord, we pray for those that they will meet, that they may be inspired by their willingness to serve. Gracious God, be with them in their work. Keep them safe. But most of all, help them to share the love of God in all that they do. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, at this time, I'd also like to thank everyone who has been faithfully giving to the church. I know a lot of that comes in electronically, which is wonderful. Some of it comes in through the bucket, some by the mail. So let us take a moment to bless what you have been so gracious to share. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have given of themselves, of their time, of their efforts, of what they have, of their material things. We ask that you bless it and help us to use it so that we can serve the world and be the body of Christ in it. Amen. And we do have a few announcements. I want to let you know that next week we are celebrating Christmas in July. So if you would like to come and sing some carols, please come and join us for that. It seems like we're also going to have Easter in August, but we need a little Christmas right now, was our thinking. And so we're also taking up a collection for our community place. And I think that you have seen a list of the items that they're looking for. If you haven't, go on the website and you can find that or call the office and we'll let you know what's needed. There'll be a big tub outside of the church and you can take the lid off, put donations in there, and that will get to our community place. So also we want to be transitioning into our pastoral prayer. We want to be in prayer for the family of Louise Motley. Louise passed away last week, and she was a dear, sweet lady. So be in prayer for her family. And also, we pray for our mission team this week. We are doing a new thing in a new way, but in a way, we're doing something that missionaries have been doing for years and years, and that's taking the love of Christ out into the world. And I am going to check and see. And we have gotten a couple of prayer requests. And, oh, yeah, and Joy, thankful that Linda Byer's surgery went well and that she is able to be here today. So awesome. That is awesome. Yes. I love it. All right. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, creator of us all and all that we have and all that lives and breathes, we give you thanks for this amazing creation. Lord, as we're sitting out here in the midst of it all, with the birds singing and the cows are galloping across the field, Lord, help our hearts to sing with joy as well at the beauty of it all. But Lord, you know that we have not always been good caretakers. We have not always raised our voices to say that something might not be good for all of us. Lord, be with us. Show us how it is that we can care for what you have entrusted to us. Lord, we pray for our youth this week and ask that they might have just a great time of fellowship and growth and service. We pray for our teachers who are thinking about what's going to happen in this upcoming school year. We pray for the doctors and nurses and all of those technicians and clinicians who are on the front lines of healing the sick and bringing wholeness to those who are broken. Lord, be with them in their work and in their calling, in their service. Continue to keep us in love with you. Help us to be the body of Christ, ever working within the world. All this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. We are so proud of our youth, aren't we, and what they're going to be doing this week? Give a honk for them. Yes, indeed. Let us join together in our last hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Yes, it is.
May you go with God. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And may you do something wonderful for that next generation that comes behind us. Amen.